I'm here in Pavilion Gardens Cafe, surprise, surprise, and delighted to be joined again by Julian Caddy. Julian, we spoke last year. Your feet are well and truly under the table now here at the Brighton Fringe. First question, perhaps a difficult one, perhaps not. Where does Brighton Fringe now sit in relation to Brighton Festival?
I think Brighton Fringe is now coming of age as a festival. I've likened Brighton Fringe to being a 1-year-old puppy that's full size but doesn't have a very evolved brain. And I think it's now growing up to a degree which is starting to be noticed a lot more. And I think the key to the change in the relationship is also the closest of working relationship I have with Andrew Comben. I think that's really important for two. He's the chief executive of Brighton Doma Festival. It's the key to having a successful working relationship. Starts there, and it filters down from that point on. I think, and I think that there had been a gap. I think there before, and I think it's realizing the potential of both organisations working together more, and seeing both sides realising the potential of that relationship.
So what would be an example of working together more?
Well, the main one that we've started working on this year has been with the Spiegel Tent and the famous Spiegel Garden. I've led on it and have been building the relationships between the sponsors and bringing together the partners, including Brighton Festival. And I wanted to include Brighton Festival in it, I didn't need to. But it's something that is important to have as part of the mix. And they've programmed in a week of performances as part of Brighton Festival. They're doing regular nightly festivals club as well. And I think that's the beginning of something which is great. And Michael Rosen is going to be hopefully doing some performances, impromptu things in the last week of Brighton Festival.
And so, if Brighton Fringe is no longer, you know, the festival's fringe, what does the word fringe mean? What's it the fringe of?
Well, I think in a sense the word fringe is a bit of a misnomer. I don't see there being a main festival or a fringe festival. I suppose it's because I've come from the Edinburgh side of things, where that doesn't really exist. You do have the Edinburgh International Festival. You have the Edinburgh Fringe, and there was, loosely speaking, a relationship, given that one was not allowed into the other one, and so that was how they coexisted. Whereas here, it's been very much. It has been very much the case of a main festival and a fringe, in that the fringe was part of Brighton Festival, and it's taken time to shed that. And I think in many cases people still feel that it's the case. What is a fringe? I think, and I've written about it, that a fringe is actually the most relevant. It's the most accurate reflection of what's going on in society, culturally, and in terms of what's the mood of a society. That's accurate, most accurately portrayed in a fringe festival rather than a curated festival. So what do I say? I'd say the fringe is actually much more of the mainstream than the festival is.
Well, I guess also, I mean, we cover fringe all year round in London, and that's not a fringe festival, it's the fringe scene, and very much people there would say that at least partly it's a reaction, a reaction to the mainstream, and then making the play to say that what's on the fringe is often cutting edge.
I think that's probably right. I think that it because it's an opportunity for people to express themselves, I think it, in many ways the fringe is the last frontier for people who are making exciting things. It is that opportunity to explore. It is an opportunity for people to make their names. It's an opportunity for entrepreneurs to get involved on so many different levels, and I think there's a lot more excitement about a fringe, whether it's during a festival or otherwise. It, just to be able to experience something in a small scale, which is often the case, and see something which might not be on for very long as well. There's something quite special. It's quite a special feeling as an audience member as well to be part of something which is taking place. I remember seeing pub theatre for years. I mean, in the Hackney Empire Studio, I remember seeing a production of Dracula. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. We were right there. It was maybe 50 of us or something, or fewer. And then it transferred to the main stage of the Hackney Empire afterwards, and it just completely lost. And I think to be able to see theatre in that small space is vital, I think.
So as you, I guess, with the overview of a leader in this organisation, what's changed in the landscape, say, from the fringe of Brighton in 2012 to this year?
I spent most of the first 6 months of my time as managing director meeting people, gauging what people felt was needed for Brighton Fringe. I've got my vision. I've got what I feel is necessary. It's a case of making sure that what I think is right suits what people want. So what I've spent doing over the past 18 months is progressively guiding things in a more concerted direction, so there's more focus, so there's more more energy, rather than bickering with the festival, working with the festival, rather than struggling for arts funding or whatever else we were doing. We go different ways, bringing in quality work. And I suppose the product of that has been, well, most visibly in what's happening on the Old Steen at the moment. I think that's just such a great thing for Brighton, not just for the fringe, but globally, for the general mood and feeling of what it's going to be like in May.
And how did you respond to last year? I guess it was a challenge laid down to the fringe in different ways. That one, you know, at the worst, you were sometimes called the most expensive fringe in the world, simply because if a group's only doing a couple of nights, the registration fee takes a big bite out of their box office. Have there been any kind of developments in that area?
There have, and we're looking at it, and it's never. It never comes at the right time, and it all came to a bit of a head in, I think, November or December last year, I seem to recall. There'd been people talking about it, but then there was some, you know, social media debates taking place, and we are looking at it. In the end, we want to be as cheap as we can. We have to be. It would be wrong to charge things that we can't, you know, we don't need to charge. But the fact of the matter is, we are an unsubsidised or largely unsubsidised organisation, relying heavily on the costs and the income raised from the registration fees and other things. So we are looking at other ways of getting round these costs by finding sponsors, for example, who might pay for certain categories of registration fee, or subsidise them at least. The work with Legal in General is a case in point. That's just 12. That's a drop in the ocean. Then there's a further 10 from Ideas Tap. There are other organisations. Some of the crowdfunding organisations have offered to come in with a further 30. So if people have genuine hardship, we're looking at that. Also, we're looking at restructuring the registration fees. It takes a lot of time to work it out, because ultimately, if we did cut the registration fee for up to 3 performances, for example, that might be 3/4 of the people. Yes, that might mean more people register, but it's not guaranteed, and it's a case of convincing the finance director, the board, and everyone, and myself, that we're not going to be shooting ourselves in the foot by reducing the fees. So, yes, we are looking at it, and we're very serious about it. And it's not, and it's more that. What I also want to say to people is, don't look beyond the fees. It's that the fee that you pay for includes an awful lot of stuff that we do. And coming to Brighton now and seeing what we're going to be doing from Saturday onwards, and you will see a lot of work that's taking place, and that comes largely from the registration fees.
When I surveyed the fringe scene only yesterday, just looking at who Fringe Review ought to be covering, and you know, we very much wave a flag for theatre. I was quite surprised to realise that the majority of fringe festivals in the UK, and there are lots of smaller and bigger ones, have almost no theatre. They're musical fringes and street art fringes, and quite a lot of comedy. And of course, the debate in Edinburgh about the Big Four, you know, is comedy more and more dominating and theatre suffering? But looking in the programme again this year in Brighton, theatre's holding up pretty well, isn't it?
It is. It's brilliant. I think theatre's a lot stronger than it was even last year, actually. I think last year wasn't actually a great year for theatre for Brighton. And this year, there have been a lot of interesting pieces that have come in, and that is such a relief. It's anecdotal, and we'll see how it all fares at the moment in terms of, you know, what the quality is and what the reviews, how the reviews go. But my feel for it is that it has improved an awful lot. I think the fact that there is a different comedy festival, you know, happening in the autumn in Brighton does make a big difference. Comedy is always going to be an important part of any large festival, but I think that the work that we're doing, hopefully, is helping create more theatre. Like the Ideas Tap Awards was for theatre, and that was something that would be encouraging people who are under the age of 30 to come and write new work and put it on in Brighton and see that as a place to put it on. And we got inundated with applications, so even if people didn't win it, I'm sure they were probably putting it on anyway, and there are some cases that was the case. But it's changing people's perceptions and making them see Brighton as that destination place to put on theatre. And it's an ongoing process, and I can't see it changing. It's going to just improve.
And I guess I've seen over the years, you know, a fair amount of Edinburgh bashing going on around the country and calling that thing various different names. But if I'd have been sitting with a fringe director 5, 6, 7 years ago in Brighton, there would have been a definite comparison with Edinburgh and a wish to emulate Edinburgh. But you're, without, you know, not being inspired and interested by all fringe festivals, you are trying to create a particular identity here, aren't you?
Yes. The main reason is because we're not Edinburgh. And the whole identity and makeup of Brighton are inherently part of what makes Brighton fringe. And a lot of that is local. There's a lot of people who live, work, are inspired by this local area. And they make up at least a quarter of the programme. And that's not the case in Edinburgh. And as Brighton fringe grows, and people might say, oh yes, you've got the Ladyboys, oh yes, you've got a Spiegel tent, oh yes, you've got Laughing Horse, or these mega venues that may well or may not start, the essence will always remain, as I hope it will be, that a lot of these people who are putting on these venues and these shows are from the local area too, and that is what needs to remain as we grow. Yes, of course, there's comparisons with Edinburgh, yeah, it would be good to develop in certain ways, but I think in other ways, I think, you know, Edinburgh has had its difficulties as a result of the commercialisation and the comedification of it. But that's also transient. You know, things come and go, and I think it's just a phase. Edinburgh will never die. There will be things. You know, these Big Four venues won't be there forever. So we'll look back maybe in 20 years and say, do you remember the era of the Big Four? Now it's just gone back to its heart. But I can see that the essence of Brighton will remain.
Final question. So as we sit here at the beginning of a fringe that's now a week longer and going into June, what are you worried about and what are you hoping for?
I'm worried that I'm not going to get enough Saturday night hotel rooms for my wife and family, and that might jeopardise my relationship. I just managed to get one last night for tomorrow night, which is good. I am. What am I worried about? I'm not really worried anymore. This is the great thing. Once the festival kicks off, it's a bit like nothing you can do. The ship has left the harbour and it set sail. Anything you can do, all you can do is just help do a little bit of guiding and a bit of waving from the um, f- from the edge. So I'm not worried. I'm accepting and I'm excited generally about what is happening to Brighton Fringe. I think that, you know, looking at it now, our ticket sales are 40% up. That we have one of the most famous cabaret shows in the world premiering its new cast with us this year. There are a number of really interesting pieces of theatre work taking place. We've got, I think, what's going to be the best Fringe City organisation that we've ever had, and the box office is developing. I think, you know, I've got nothing to be afraid of, and that's the great thing. I think that Brighton Fringe in the past has suffered from a bit of an inferiority complex to the festival, and I don't have that. I've never had that, and I don't really care what people think about me. My total focus is on the success of Brighton Fringe.
So from Pavilion Gardens Cafe, venue number one, and a man without fear, thanks very much, Julian.